RCR with Paul Brennan.
So, to Radio New Zealand's controversial climate reporting and the omission of historical heatwave data and the role of media in shaping the climate change narrative. Uncovered again in a piece in the centrist headline, State Broadcaster in Climate Reporting Scandal Hides Evidence of Massive Heatwave That Dwarfs Recent Hottest Years, by investigative journalist Ian Wishart, who is back with us. Last time, Ian, it was Cyclone Gabrielle and the completely ignored statistics that you did some research into. And I mean, it was an effort, but it wasn't a great effort. They could have done it, which revealed that, it was a kind of a hoax, the way they put it out at the time. And it looks like we've got a very similar situation here. The ignoring... Is it ignoring or just not being aware of historical data relating to a series of warm days? I'd call them warm, in Hamilton. So where do you want to pick up from that?
Well, let's start from the join the dots part, which is the series of hot days in Hamilton. Hamilton's hottest streak is what RNZ called it back on February the 13th. And that was a story by Eloise Gibson, their climate change reporter, based on 10 or at that stage 11 days worth of data from the start of February, which showed that, according to climate scientist Luke Harrington at Waikato University, was the hottest that he could find in the records as a 10-day stretch since 1993. And as he told Eloise Gibson, very likely in all of recorded history for Hamilton. The clear implication of this being that climate change is causing temperatures to rise inexorably and it's all, we're all going to burn in hell in the future.
Yeah.
So I knew where some bodies were buried in this particular yarn. So yeah. I started researching in papers past and looked for the official Hamilton temperature recordings in 1935, because if you go into papers past and you just enter the word Hamilton and heat and waves.
Yeah, not rocket science.
It's not rocket science, and any journalist and climate scientist could and should have done it. You quickly led to the summer of 1934 and 1935. And the data showed that that summer, between December and the end of February, there was a massive 63 days of temperatures above 27 degrees Celsius,
wow,
which was the marker that Luke Harrington and his climate research was using. And that buried in that 63-day hot streak was a 27-day hot streak, a 26-day hot streak, and a 10-day hot streak. The hottest 10 days of all in that period topped out at an average of 32.66 degrees Celsius. Now, to put that in perspective, the hottest that Hamilton achieved in February 2025 as an average was 28.63 degrees.
Nowhere near.
4 degrees Celsius below the hottest that climate change has ever delivered Hamilton. So the 1935 figure is a massive heat wave. And at that stage, in fact, Hamilton was surrounded by peat and bushfires, and the city residents were choking on smoke every day. They could barely see 50 to 100 metres in front of them because there was so much smoke just choking the city for weeks.
So, wait on, there would have been people alive now who can remember that.
Yeah, people born in 1935 would be 90 today.
Yeah, there would be a few around who could, as kids, maybe remember.
Yeah, some probably as kids in their 90s and into the century who would still remember the event. Yeah. But it is well out of institutional memory. And NIWA apparently doesn't have any records for Hamilton before 1940.
Oh.
So anyway, RNZ were caught with the story, and I challenged them, and I sent them the temperature breakdowns for the whole December, January and February 1935. And they went through and came back, and Luke Harrington said, well, you might be right. Maybe our 2025 figure is not the biggest in history, but it doesn't change the broader messaging we want to get across, which is that climate change is happening. So RNZ on that basis decided not to correct the story. Now, my argument was that a state broadcaster, when it's doing a story on climate change, has to present the relevant facts to allow readers to make up their minds as to what the significance of the story is.
Yeah.
And in this case, the significance was that the line that this was Hamilton's probably hottest ever heat wave in February 25 was wrong. It was nowhere near it. It was well below the record total. And RNZ refused to correct that. And their editor-in-chief and chief executive, Paul Thompson, signed off on that decision not to include the relevant facts, which was a breach of RNZ's editorial policy and a breach, incidentally, of the journalist's code of ethics. The first commandment is you should include all relevant facts to allow people to make up their minds.
I was going to ask you, because you've got a long time working around news and newsrooms, et cetera, so have I. How do you think that story would have come together?
I think that from what I'm reading between the lines, I think that Luke Harrington has done some number crunching, as he's prone to do. And he's decided that this is a record for February, and because his data doesn't go back very far, and he's evidently hasn't checked his historic data, he's just rushed out a tip to Eloise and said, got a good story for you. Hamilton's having its biggest run of hot days possibly ever. Here's what we know. So he's done that. And she swallowed the hook, line, and sinker, and when challenged on it, refused to correct.
Yeah, that's kind of unusual. She's listed here in the story as climate change correspondent. First thing you'd do would be to check if it's factual. First thing.
Yeah, and RNZ's editorial policy actually says you must cross-check all facts and claims. But the problem lies in this. RNZ and many other media organisations have signed up to a code of practice which says we're not going to give climate deniers, in inverted quote marks,
right,
any space on our media for sceptical opinions because we don't want to deny the fact of climate science. Well, that's fine. You can take that editorial position. But the danger that it's done is they've gone one step beyond. They are now refusing to cover climate science facts like historical data because it might lead to sceptical opinions. So they say anything that is leading to a sceptical opinion needs to be silenced. And they're not covering genuine climate facts. So you get this strange situation whereby the public of New Zealand and the government of New Zealand and the taxpayers of New Zealand are being hit potentially for billions. Because the media are not doing their job at actually reporting the debate within climate science about what's happening. And to put it in simple terms, the measurement of climate change depends on knowing your baseline. In other words, what was the climate like before greenhouse gases were an issue? You can't measure climate change without first defining your baseline. So historical records are key to all this. And if you don't know your history, then you can't measure the change. And that's the problem that the climate science community and the media are facing now, because they're creating this boy who cried wolf scenario without knowing their history. And they refuse to fix it up. NIWA has, as we've discussed in the past, NIWA has lied to its minister. NIWA has lied to Parliament. NIWA has lied to the public of New Zealand and said that none of this data is missing. But on the other hand, they freely admit we don't have data for Hamilton before 1940. So in other words, the data for the summer of 1934-1935 is missing.
I asked Judith Collins last year about that after we talked. I had the opportunity. And she kind of just brushed it off, as you would expect. But she didn't seem to have any issue with being lied to.
No, it's like the government... Whatever government you elect in has been captured by the bureaucracy on this. They're in lockstep and they will just do what they're told. And so therefore you get this strange situation where I can present all the evidence in the world and even Blind Freddy can see it and social media is lighting up and they can see it. Thinking New Zealanders can see it.
Yeah.
But the powers that be are literally players in the emperor's new clothes. They are parading naked down the street. And they refuse to accept that their version is incorrect.
Yeah. The journalist involved for RNZ, Eloise Gibson, perhaps got caught sandwiched in this. I want to go back to 2023. Speaking of Paul Thompson, RNZ chief executive, editor in chief, he apologized back then after pro-Russian sentiment added to stories. You might remember that.
Yeah.
And he said on the 9 to Noon show there, I've got some quotes, that they had gone already at that point through 250 stories published with a fine-tooth comb, checking for what he called, and here's the quote. He said, it's so disappointing that this pro-Kremlin garbage has ended up in our stories. Of course, all of it's turned out to be actually true. So there's one reaction, one effort when it came to just tweaking some copy to make it more truthful, now that we know. And you're telling us that he signed off on maintaining this, well, deception over the case of Hamilton.
It is a deception. I mean, to put it in perspective, Luke Harrington had run the numbers on February 2025, first 10-day run. And as I said, that was averaging out at a maximum temperature every day of 28.63 degrees Celsius. That was a fraction of a degree, like as in 0.3 of a degree or so, higher than 1998, which was the record in modern times. And that was what gave him the confidence that it was the hottest in modern times and probably climate history, but a fraction of a degree higher. 1935 February figures for 10 days, 32.66 degrees Celsius, more than 4 degrees Celsius higher, not a fraction of a degree, four whole degrees higher. We've never seen a heat wave like that in Hamilton since. So on that basis, and he knew about it, he should have been prepared to look at it. And the irony is that he gave a TED talk last year, which he posted on his X channel. It's still viewable on the X channel for Luke Harrington at Heron Luke, I think it is. And in the TED talk, he said that climate scientists make the mistake of only using data from sort of like the 1990s onwards. And he said, really, we have to go back to the old historical records because we have to know the past before we can predict the future. And I went, yay, makes sense.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do it.
So what happened?
Yeah. So it's like a goat ate my homework. He's just refusing to do the May. And the problem was elevated this week in the New Zealand Herald, because having been caught by me, Luke Harrington decided he would try and rephrase his data under the guise of a new study to make the point that climate change is going to happen like this. So he still wanted to turn the Hamilton February 2025 heatwave into a scarecrow for the future. So he did the study running computer modelling, in other words, interviewing his keyboard and chatting down.
Another computer modeller, okay.
Another computer modeller. That's his favourite line of attack, really.
Boy, they really believe in it too, don't they?
Oh, they do. And the computer models are absolute bollocks, but that's another story.
Yeah.
So he, knowing that 1935 was a monster heat wave, he chose to select data from 1985 onwards. In other words, the 1990s on. And he fed that into his computer model. And he came up with these predictions about how Hamilton is going to get warmer and more extreme and all the rest of it. These things are going to be happening 3 out of 4 years by 2070, 2100. Not once did he mention the 1935 heatwave that he knew
about. And he knew about that now from your piece in the Centrist.
Yeah, and so the Herald, their environment reporter, Jamie Morton, dutifully parrots this rubbish, also probably knowing about the RNZ Hamilton's hottest heatwave story because it's been all over social media for the last week and a half. And he doesn't mention it either, which is just insane because clearly the average punter is going to say, well, if it was 32.66 degrees Celsius for 10 days in Hamilton in February 1935, and it's only 28 degrees Celsius in Hamilton in February 2025, then has the issue of extreme climate reached us yet, or is this just a natural weather event that we're getting too excited about? None of that's in there. no one listening to RNZ or reading the Herald would know. And this, again, is a journalistic problem.
Yeah. So what do you think needs to happen here? Surely Paul Thompson has a career background in journalism. I think he was the editor of the Press in Christchurch for some time, and he let some nice photos go from somewhere as well. That's another story too. Surely his position isn't tenable now.
Yeah, I would have thought so. And in an ordinary functioning democracy, the opposition parties would have been all over it as a matter of principle and demanded the resignation of the head of Radio New Zealand for breaching his own editorial policy.
Well, no more colluding. Colluding on deception.
Yeah, that, to put it in perspective, the first piece of wrong information from Luke Harrington about this being the hottest ever was misinformation. In other words, he genuinely believed it.
Okay.
I accept that. But at the stage that they were told, no, you're wrong, and here's the facts, and here's the temperatures for every day between December 15th, 1934 and February 22nd, 1935, every single temperature, it became undeniable to them. And at the stage that they covered that up and refused to add a clarification or any context at all of this existence of this event, then that decision, as you say, becomes collusion, it becomes deception, it becomes disinformation, willful misinformation.
But, taxpayer-owned entity as well.
It is. And again, these entities claim to be having, quote-unquote, editorial independence. Trust us, we know what we're doing. We're the journalists. They're lying to the public.
Yeah.
And it's a scandal.